Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Middle of July, we're starting to rev it back up. Starting, not totally, but starting to get back into the groove of things. I always figure around the Major League Baseball All-Star break is a good time to start ramping things up. We've already done quite a bit of college football with the Big 12 and last week with Jordan Hamm down there. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and the Desert Financial crew and their support. I am feeling really good today. I'm feeling so good today because my Diamondbacks are not like your Cardinals. I've been sitting here wondering, where are we going to go for the rest of 2026 when it comes to the hometown teams? Pretty evident that the football team is in the let's go get Arch Manning sweepstakes. Once again, they have a quarterback situation. Feels like in the 33 years I've been here, they always have a quarterback situation. I don't know why it is. Other than Jake Plummer for a little bit, Kurt Warner for a little bit, and Carson Palmer for a little bit. And if you're going to say, well, Kyler Murray was great. No, he wasn't. He had a losing record and the team didn't make the postseason. So that was a miss. So I'm not counting on the Super Cardinals to do anything. The Suns, I'm not counting on the Suns to do anything. They're interesting. I watch co-op heat. I very seldom watch Summer League basketball because, you know, I could go down to the Boys and Girls Club and watch Summer League basketball. It's fine. It's fine enough. I'm not going to poo-poo it. It was something to pass a couple hours. I could have read a book, something along those lines, but I decided to watch that. The Hometown Nine, I thought it was time to push the flush. I actually wrote a three dots saying, maybe it's time for the general manager to go. I believe the manager is the right manager. I know the owner's not going anywhere, and I know the team president isn't going anywhere, and it's felt like the thing has gotten sour. I can't believe that it's all around Pavin Smith, who they finally mercifully released. I can't believe that. Or designated for assignment, I should say. He could still go to Reno. But, man, they go into Los Angeles. And, yeah, the Dodgers stink right now. There's a shot of Dave Roberts in the dugout the seventh inning yesterday. And he just had this look of, man, we're 14 up in the division. It's a July game against the Diamondbacks. They are smoking us. We're throwing the ball all over the place. I don't have half my starters out in the field, and we just have to take this until October. He just had that look. So it's great for the fans that they sweep the Diamond, that they sweep the Dodgers and all of that. That's all exciting. I'm not one that's, heck, it's 100 and whatever. Why not be excited? But, you know, now are they buyers or are they sellers? That is a question I'm going to ask Jordan Spurgeon here in a minute because he's been around the Diamondbacks quite a bit. Spurge actually joins us from his palatial estate, his man cave, his where are you? Where is this? Well,
I was outside waiting with Chase Field behind me at my apartment, but everything started overheating, including myself and all my computer and iPhone. So I just switched over to my computer. We're inside a little, I guess it's a dance studio type thing, yoga studio area that my building has. So a little bit cooler in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Might be losing me due to all this heat. But yeah, we're here looking at Chase Field that way.
Yeah. You know what? This isn't gonna work to Isaac. He's going. We'll just let Spurge go. It's okay. Spurge can go because he's not gonna make it through. And I don't want to put the audience through. We tried. So Spurge, good seeing you, just hang out. That's fine. You know, when it's 100 and whatever and it's the middle of summer, I'm still going to try things. We're still going to try things. It's okay. Spurge and I were together Saturday. Saturday we were together. And Tyzik, you've got the footage on this. You can go ahead and roll it in. We were out at Rock Chulosky's draft party. So I got an invite. It was like, I don't know, a week or so ago saying, hey, Rock's going to have his private deal and you should come out there. We'd like to have you. And here's the number one overall pick in Major League Baseball in our own backyard. And here he's finding out. Spurge is shooting this. I am off to the side. Dad to the left. Back in the middle. The bomb. It's good for. It's so cool. like 300 people packed in the trophy booth. And they did it right. They did it right. It was packed outside. People couldn't even get in. And it wasn't, it was like high school, college parent, teammates. You see all those hats behind him. Those hats were, there was some conversation that maybe he would not go number one overall. And that's why they had the Pirates and the Royals and the Twins and the Rays behind him. Spurge spoke with him afterwards. This was Spurge with Rock.
I thought it was a possibility these last few months. Just, you know, tried to, you know, not get too tied into it. But, you know, it was just, there was a lot of conversations the last couple of weeks about, you know, what was right and where everyone thought I was going to end up. And, you know, I didn't really have a gut feeling that I would go one. You know, I started to veer away from that. But, you know, finding out this morning was, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was good stuff. He, we're the second interview that he did. He had some Major League Baseball stuff. And then Spurge and I went into a back room there, at Trophy. And Rock was great. Here's the thing on Rock Chulosky that I want to try to emphasize to Mr. and Mrs. Crazy Parent, okay? Mr. and Mrs. Crazy Parent need to understand that a kid like Rock Chulosky was multi-sport. They need to understand that the first time that I saw him on the football field was at Hamilton High School. Yeah, I said football. I had a coach that called me and said, you won't believe this kid. You need to come watch him. He was only a sophomore. And then I'm watching him throw, and it was, oh, my gosh. I'm like, yeah, he kicks too. Oh, of course he does. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's the number one shortstop prospect in the country, and UCLA has already offered him. It's right here in our own backyard. Multi-sport. Please, please understand the benefit of multi-sport. And he goes number one, numero uno, one of one overall. He put his focus into being a baseball kid at UCLA, and now he's with the Chicago White Sox as the number one overall pick in the draft. We have not had many one of ones when it comes to Arizona sports through the years. We've had one over on hockey, and I can't think of one that we've had over, and I'm not going to count DeAndre Ayton just because he went to prep school up in Scottsdale and went to U of A. He was not from here originally. So it's cool to see one of ones do their thing and go out and take care of business. Yesterday, he threw out the first pitch at Chicago. So good for Rock, Hamilton High School right here in our own backyard, and handling his business the right way. In terms of the Diamondbacks, I want to get back to this. I was of the opinion that you should take some of these people and dump them coming up. And I am one of those that's okay trading Ketel Marte. I am one of those. I've seen too many times where he doesn't run down to first base on an infield out. I don't see where the long term is lost. Yes, a bat that's somewhat consistent, but I've been one of those that's like, okay, why are we just going to sit here and watch the same old story and not have a team that is trying to compete for the highest level? Oh, well, the Dodgers are in our division. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. This team's come close the last few years, and they were in a World Series just a few years ago, okay? I don't think they're that far off with all the nonsense that's gone on with their starting rotation and injuries in their bullpen. The number of arm injuries with this organization has been, I don't know. I don't want to say scary, but somebody somewhere should be like, why are we having so many people have elbow tightness here in Arizona? Or having shoulder issue, or having shoulder surgery, or having Tommy John. Oh, well, it's just around baseball. I don't think so. So they've managed somehow that they're sitting here today. What are they, three out of the wild card? And what is it? No, two and a half. They're two and a half back in the wild card. And so do you turn this thing upside down at two and a half back in the wild card? What does two and a half games really mean? They were six back just about a week ago. And by the way, one of the teams that's in front of them is St. Louis, who's coming here this weekend. And so you look at the way the schedule lays out. One of the other teams right there with them is Pittsburgh. They have a bunch of games with Pittsburgh. They have to have a makeup game at St. Louis on an off day. Washington's right around them. They have to play Washington. So before the trade deadline takes place, they're going to be in a spot of, do we buy, do we sell? Today, I'm of the opinion they buy. I have been of the opinion that they do a little bit of both in the past. Today, I'm more of the opinion that they buy. If they don't trade Marte, it's not the end of the world, in my opinion, but I wouldn't be sad if he were traded. Let's put it that way. I think if you look at the acquisitions that have come and gone, the question marks, Jake McCarthy is having a terrific year up at Colorado. Pavin Smith was just dreadful here. And I could go through each one of these moves. And Torrey Lovello, you want to blame Torrey as the manager of this team? Look, he has very little say from what I see and hear over who it is he's supposed to play. He's just the guy at the table passing the cards out. That's it. He doesn't have a say on this roster, like a powerful say, in my opinion. So when the lineup is sent down the chute, and that's what he's got to work with, and they're off season, you know, look at their offseason acquisitions. Arenado has been a good acquisition for them. What did they try to do over at first base? It was a mess. It's been a mess. The injuries, the, okay, here's our acquisitions on the pitching staff. We're going to bring back Merrill Kelly. We're going to bring back Zach Gallen. Yeah, Corbin Burns isn't ready to go this year. But essentially, it's the same guys. And Eduardo Rodriguez has figured it out. Brandon Pfaadt was great the other night. So it's not a bad team. It's not even a mediocre team. I don't think they're that far off. It's can they get some offense going, and they did the other day. But I myself would not be surprised if at the end of this season, if once again they miss out by a game or two, that ownership is, you know what, we've given this a good run. We don't want to waste Corbin Carroll's best years. And yes, he's not having a good stretch right now. He's scuffling. We don't want to waste some of these young players, but I really believe when you see all the young guys they've brought up, the Reno Express, I call it, the number of young players they brought up, it's almost like, let's get their feet wet. Let's see what we've got. We don't know if we want to keep this player or that player, and we're just going to keep shuffling through the lineup, and we're going to keep sending them back and forth. And as it gets close to the deadline, some of these players, you know, the team may, there's teams out there that may want them. Was it Claudia from our team ran into Gonzo up in Hillsboro, Oregon? Gonzo's in Hillsboro, Oregon. I don't think he's up there just to take a vacation. He's probably up there as a special assistant, special advisor, to give a look as to what's going on with some of their young players. This was just 2 weeks ago. It's how the game is, guys. It's not just, hey, well, we're going to pick up the phone and see if Paul Skeens is available and that's it. Or if Scooble's available in Detroit and that's it. And we'll take some major league. No, they're going to want prospects. So, and I'm one of those that, yeah, they've spent a lot of money on pitching that hasn't worked out. You know, gosh knows Jordan Montgomery, and you know, I can go on and on. But they've brought in and made the emphasis to try to make it work, and I'm not upset with them about that. I don't want a team that just sits there and flounders along. So, beyond that, World Cup, I've been all about World Cup. Wife has been all about World Cup. Wife has actually been more about World Cup than I have been, which is pretty crazy, but that's just how it goes in this household. Tonight, I am seeing a premiere private showing of The Odyssey. It is 2 hours and 58 minutes. I am glad that I have good bladder control. I don't know about people around me. And we're seeing it in IMAX, so I'm going to have blood and knives, and I'm going to see Matt Damon in a different light. I'm looking forward to that. And I have no idea what it looks like. It opens up this week. It's one of those, we go to it. It's private screening. After it's over, they ask you, what do you think? And there's times where I don't think it was very good. Or, you know, let me go in depth on this. We'll see our buddy Goody there tonight, I'm sure. Bill Goody Kuntz from the Republic and some other of our media friends. And that's about it. Middle summer. All right. This will repeat, but keep checking back here because we're going to add some things. You never know what's going to pop up. I think we have an In the Cards that will show up here shortly with Rock Chulosky in the Cards with him. But here in the middle of summer, that's what's going on in the world of sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Going on now in Frisco, Texas is the start of Big 12 football media days. This is the start of the college football season. 4th of July is over. Now it's time on the high school platform. Kids are going up to their camps. Lots of previews there. On the college level, it's all the media days, and the NFL will get started here in a few weeks. To get us off and running, though, let's go live down to Frisco, Texas. Jordan Hamm is at Big 12 football media days. He is there with both U of A, ASU covering them, and all the other angles as well. Partner, you come into this season and you look at the Big 12 Conference. In year one of Kenny Dillingham, there's all sorts of excitement and energy and enthusiasm. In Brent Brennan, much the same. Those two have now settled in. Now it's about to get real for the two of them. What's the preseason feel about both these programs this coming football season, their media days?
Yeah, I think to start with U of A, it's you have a lot of continuity. You have all three of your coordinators coming back. Brent Brennan has settled in, as you said. Noah Fafita is back. A lot of the big weapons around him are back. Yes, you're going to have to replace some very talented secondary members in the back half of that defense, but you now have expectations. You won 9 games last year. You had a great end to the season. You really saw it start to come together. How do you keep that momentum going? And how do you play with expectation? Which for, I think, both of these programs, ASU and U of A, historically, they've kind of struggled when there are expectations placed upon them. On ASU side, it feels like it's almost kind of a new chapter of this Kenny Dillingham era. A lot of the players that were on that 2024 team that made it to the Peach Bowl, that made it to the college football playoff, many of them are no longer here. And a lot of key positions had to be addressed this offseason. I think they did a good job loading up the roster. They look like a deep, talented team. When I see these power rankings for the Big 12 and have ASU in the 10 to 12 to 13, I think that just means that a lot of people aren't familiar with the type of players that came in. And for those that have seen day in and day out what this team looks like, I think they're going to be in that upper third as well. But still plenty of questions on who's going to be the quarterback, who's going to be the running back, who's going to step into Jordan Tyson's shoes. They brought in a lot of talent around in those areas, but now it's a matter of figuring that out. And then they also have a very, very tough schedule that they're going to have to navigate, including a trip to London here early on in the season.
Jordan Hamm joins us. He is at Big 12 Football Media Days in Frisco, Texas, as we get the college football season off and running. Commissioner, the conversation, what are some of the talking points you anticipate coming out of this Media Days around the conference itself? Because there's been a lot of turmoil, obviously, Brendan Sorsby being one of them. Don't know if the commissioner is going to want to address that or will address it. Beyond that, what are some of the other items that are on the agenda, Jordan, as you see the growth of the conference?
Yeah, I think the focus for these media days, and Brett Yormark has, I think this has been the focus the past couple of years for as long as we have known him, is a celebration of the 16 teams involved in the conference. And what are the new changes? It's ever-changing in college sports. How is the Big 12 trying to be innovative, whether it's with partnerships, whether it's with having events in places that don't typically have college events or college football events, like, you know, 2 international games this season. So I think it's a chance for him to show kind of the way the conference is trying to innovate, trying to stay relevant in a time when so many conferences can shift up and down the ladder so quickly. It's really on him and on this group to make sure that the Big 12 is always on the cutting edge. So I imagine that that's going to be the focus of the talk for a lot of the people from the league side of things.
Okay, but you buried the lead. They're now sponsored by Monster, right? Is this
Monster
true?
Monster Energy Drink, yes. they are. And again, we have seen the Big 12 partner with WWE. We've seen them partner with various groups. And I think that it's really one of those things where it's, you know, Yormark's not afraid to take a swing on something that may look, you know, make it go, huh, interesting. And, you know, I think a lot of times it has worked out pretty well for the conference. So that's something I appreciate about him. It never feels like he's on his heels in terms of how can we make changes? How can we be different? And sometimes the different may not quite work out, but this is just another example of Brett Yormark taking a big swing.
And what Jordan didn't say either is that we are forced to drink 10 Monsters before every game. Media members are going to just have it put on as IVs. And, you know, these 7 and 8 o'clock kickoffs at night will be the Monster nights where everybody's drinking Monster in the stands. I don't think I can say Monster enough for the Big 12. So.
The Monsters come out at night. They come out for noon kickoffs as well. Really, however, they can get the branding out there.
All right, one other thing before I get you out of here on a serious note. Who are you looking forward to talking to?
Yeah, there are a lot of local guys. It's really cool. These events are really cool to see because, especially in my position when I was doing recruiting full time, I was getting to know a lot of these top players back when they were teenagers, you know, just getting their driver's licenses. And right. Now they're young men and being leaders in the conference. So there's Devin Dampier, Lance Holtzclaw, Cree Thomas, Matthew Kloftenstein, all repping from the Arizona prep rank. So we'll have plenty of cool ASU, U of A coverage. But we also are hoping to talk to a lot of those guys as well and get caught up with them on kind of where they're at now in life and what it looks like as a college athlete. And then, you know, I always come with a couple off the beaten path storylines.
Yes.
So looking forward to posting a couple of those. Yes. We were able to just shoot one of those. And I'm very, very excited about that connection. So
Yeah. What I would like to see is like a pyramid of monster cans as your day has progressed. This is Jordan's monster. This is his blood is now monster. And
well, interesting. This is going to be really inside baseball, but Jeremy Hawks, who works for ASU Communications, wonderful guy. I've never not seen him with an energy drink in his hand. So I think he's in hog heaven right now. I want to keep a running tally throughout the season of the, you know, how many Hawks has or how many monsters has Hawks had.
That's good stuff. All right, Jordan, good stuff there. We'll let you go off that. That's Jordan Hamm, and he will have plenty of content on the other side. We take a timeout.
So I have one other thing, and it's called In the Cards. So what was going on here for Rock Chulosky with this card? Have you seen this one before?
Yeah, that was freshman year. I mean, that was just battling every day, trying to win myself a job and win some games. Little bit of struggle, but you know, I wasn't really worried about all the outside stuff back then. But
is this your first one?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So, and on the back of it, did you have to approve this?
I did not know.
So did they just take pictures and one day it showed up?
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. All right. What was going on here?
That was the College World Series, if I'm not wrong. Getting off the field after getting out of it, but you know, just playing the game that I love. I mean, just getting off and, you know, getting ready to go get some swings in.
What year was that?
That was sophomore year.
Sophomore year. There's that one.